Good morning and welcome to worship. As you can see, our captains are still on holiday. I'm a little bit worried because I did say last week that if it rained, it would mean if they got on holiday camping and it rained, which it always does. And I'm a bit worried because I just phoned him and he's not answering me. So I'm presuming it's been pouring with rain. And I shall be no longer working for you next Sunday. But I think if I look on the weather forecast, that the chances of rain for them are pretty short. So hope they're having a great time. But they're back with us tomorrow, and then it'll be full steam ahead. But just to bring to you some announcements, tea and coffee will be served following our worship in the community hall. We hope to have an open air at 12:05 on the triangle. And to remind the band and the songsters that their rehearsals commence again for the next 2 weeks. Now, some older members of the corps may have fond memories of Pauline French. That's right. Well, Pauline passed away this week, and I haven't got details yet of her funeral arrangements, but if I get them, I will pass them on to you some way. So I believe she was a songster, and but it's slightly before my time, I think. But please remember the family in your prayers. This morning, I want to ask you a question. And the question is, how much do you love the Lord? How much do you love the Lord? Do you love him from your heart, or is it just from your lips? Hopefully, as we go through the meeting, we'll learn more about his love, and we'll be able to make our own personal decisions as to whether we actually do love the Lord. But to help us start the ball rolling, as they say, the band have played the tune. It's number 84 in the songbook. The words will come on the screen. Jesus the name, high over all in hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before him fly, and devils fear and fly. Let's make the devil fear. Play a bit louder in, lads, okay? So, an introduction. Would you stand, please, as we sing this song?
Jesus, the name high over all in hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before him fall, and devil fear and fly. We have no other argument, we want no other plea. It is enough. That he died for me. Yeah. Jesus, the name to sinners give, the name to sinners give. He scatters all their guilty feet and turns the hell to hell. He died for me. Jesus, the prisoner's fetters break and ruin. Are into strength the soul's his feet and life into the dead. We have no
fourth verse says, oh, that the world would taste and see the riches of his grace. The arms of love that compass me would all mankind embrace. We have no other argument. We have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. We've still got three verses to go, so take a deep breath and keep going. Verse 4 onwards. I'm going to invite you now to join me and as we read together from God's Word, and the reading will come up on the screen, and I invite you to join us. So we're ready, here we go. But about the resurrection of the day, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now we're going to spend some moments in prayer. And we have a little song that will come up. It's number 582 in your song book. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. My question could stop there. Is that true in your life? Do you love him? Do you worship him? Do you adore him? How much of your life has he got hold of? We'll think about that as we sing this lovely song through. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. Prayer is not always a solemn moment, and so we can lift this song up and glorify his name in our prayer. Thank you, John.
Glory. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name, glorify your name, glorify.
Heavenly Father, we pray that as we have come into your house this morning, we have come here for the right reason. We've come here to worship you and to glorify your name. We thank you that you love us so much. This morning, as we listen to your word, may we learn a little more how we should be loving you, our Father. Lord, for those who belong to our fellowship, who are on holiday this weekend, and just pray they will have a relaxing time and enjoy themselves. Those who are unwell, we would ask that your healing hand would be put upon them. And those who no longer attend because of many reasons, just be with them right at this moment now. But most of all, be with us as we worship you, as we sing our songs, as we listen to your word. Just ask that we shall learn more about your love to us and how we should be loving you. Ask this prayer in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Is there anybody in the hall called Felicity Little? Felicity. Is there anybody?
Would you like to come up here, Felicity? Right.
Now, today is a very special day. It's my birthday.
Well, I should have said it's my birthday, not mine. It's yours, isn't it? And how old are you today?
Five.
And have you had a good birthday so far? Did you get up early? Yeah. Well, I've got a little present for you, a special video just for you. And it's going to come on that screen, and I'll get Jackie after three to press the button, and you listen to this. 2, 3. All the other children, would you like to join Felicity? Would you like to come up and join Felicity? Lovely. Carla there. Now, we'll have a straight line. Lovely. Oh, no. Come on, then. I knew there'd be trouble. You can stand next to your sister. Oh, do you want some help? Hang on. Turn around. That's it. Right, now. Well, it's Felicity's special day today, but I want you to... Hang on, I'll get so people can hear what we're doing. Just a minute. I would like you to tell me your name. To tell me your name, and if you can remember when your birthday is,
I'd like you to tell everybody, because you never know, if they've got good memories, they might buy you something. If you don't know, don't worry, because I'll find out. So, your name is?
Catherine.
What is it?
Catherine.
Now, can you say it when you're shouting to Freddie? Catherine! That's what you do. And do you know when your birthday is?
February the 13th, 2012.
And your name is?
Emily.
Emily. And do you know when your birthday is?
September 12th.
September 12th. That's not long, is it? Oh, I hope your mum has bought something for you. Come on, lad. We know your name, but you can tell us.
My name is Matthew, and my birthday is the 2nd of March.
2nd of March. Oh, you've got a long time to wait, haven't you? But you've had a good birthday. And your name
My
is?
My name is Annabelle.
And you can't remember your birthday. Does anybody know Annabelle's birthday? July. Right, you can remember that because you might miss your presents, okay? We know when yours is, but your name is?
Felicity. And my birthday is on the 20th, on 1st of August.
That's the day. What a surprise. Oi, what's your name?
My birthday.
You're called Hudson, aren't you? Yeah. Anybody know when he was born? Dad? You were born in April. Yeah. Lovely, isn't it? Right now, what I want to do, you watch this, how clever they are. Is that anybody can put their hand up and remember when it's your birthday? Yes? Is that right? Can anyone remember when this young lady's birthday was? When was that? Are you related? Ah. Matthew, tell your dad not to say it. Tell your mum.
Don't say it, Mummy and Daddy.
That's right. So, can you remember when Matthew's birthday? Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Can you remember? Because I can't remember.
No.
When was it?
5th of April.
5th of April? No. 5th of July, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't remember your birthday. Anybody remember this girl? Today!
Today!
I'll have a try. When was your birthday, Hudson?
April.
Say April.
Two.
It was, definitely was. Well, now, what I want to tell you is that there's special days for you, but there's a special day at Christmas when a little baby was born and they called him Jesus. And he's your friend, he's Hudson's friend, although Hudson doesn't listen to him, he's Hudson's friend. He's your friend, and he's friend of everyone here. Now, I wonder if we could, yes, we will. What we'll do now, I'll just run through your names again. Your name is?
Catherine.
Emily.
Matthew.
Annabelle.
Felicity.
Hudson.
Hudson.
That's it, yeah. Could we put this video on again, and this time I want you to get all them names in. Happy birthday, 200. Get them all in, okay? Or choose one if you can't speak fast. So here we go with the video. And you can sing anybody's name in on the platform, okay? And except Hudson, okay? Here we go.
Happy birthday to you.
Have another go. Here it goes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Felicity. Happy birthday to you.
Well, happy birthday to you all when it comes. And if you write your birthdays down, I'll give it to the bandmaster and you'll share it round the band and they'll all buy you something for your birthday, okay? Now, what we're going to do now is with Rosie, are you at the back? Are you ready to take over? So children, would you wander off to... quick, come with me. Go with Rosie. Here he comes. Yeah, off you go. Go on. So off they go into the... Yes. If you go into the lounge now, everybody in the lounge, yeah. And my birthday is on the 6th of May, if you want to remember that. I shouldn't think you want to, but... Oh, dear. Now, after that, we quieten down a little, and we turn to the songsters, and they're going to sing a little short song, but it's got a great meaning. It's By His Hand, the songsters. spoke to the children there, and they gave us their name. And what's in a name? What actually is in a name? First names. I found some first names were Barb, Max, Justin, Paige, Stan, Carrie, and Annette. All straightforward names. But when you added their surnames, there was Barb Wire, Justin Case, Mary Christmas, Paige Turner, Stan Still, Karaoke, and Annette Curtin. So what's in a name? What's in a name? But I wonder, what you... Yeah, come on, we've got time. I have to put the dinner on till 12:15. If you... Because you didn't have a choice. Most of us, mum or dad wrote your name down and you were stuck with it for the for the rest of your life. But is there anyone who would be brave enough to say, if they weren't called what they are called, a Christian name, what would you like to have been called? Gemma is a good name, but she would like to have been called?
Well, I should have been called Felicity, but my dad couldn't spell it, so he went with Felicity Kendall. So dad couldn't spell it, so I went with my stage name, which is Gemma.
Right, so that's all. Now, you've got to be careful what you say. You're a yes, monkey.
I was born just before Christmas, so a week ago, they did think about Carol, but I was named Christy.
You'd rather be Carol, would you?
Yes, shorter.
Okay, thank you, Carol. The next one is you.
I'm happy with my first name, but I would have chosen a more exciting second name, middle name, because I'm Anne. And I think I'd rather have a bit more of an exciting middle name.
Yeah, a bit posher than Anne, yeah. But we'd better not ask Anne, because her name was Anne. Anne, would you rather have been called anything else but Anne?
I should have been Anne Elizabeth, but my father got the wrong princess and called me Anne Margaret.
It's always Dad, isn't it? It's always Dad. Anyone else, come on, Maureen. Maureen is her name, but...
Yeah, I'm okay with my name, Maureen, but I don't like my middle name, which is Janet. And my mum called me that because of the midwife's name was Janet.
It could have been worse. It could have been something, but Janet. Angela. It's a lovely name, Angela. Would you like to change it?
I was supposed to be called Barbara Ann after the song.
Oh, right. And what happened?
Because my mum was a Catholic and I was born and I had a day of obligation. I was called Angela.
There we are, you see. Well, they don't seem to be too upset with... Mine was John. I mean, who wants to be called John? Excellent name. But it's my second name, that, like the rest of you there. Samuel. Don't like it, Samuel. we better get somebody in the band. Bob, what would you like to be called if you hadn't been... Robert is your proper name, isn't it?
Victor.
Oh, very good.
Victor Robert. But my dad, we sent the band to register me. I should have been James Robert, but he didn't like that. So he just called me Victor Robert. He didn't like James.
He didn't like James, well... Well, there you are. What's in a name? Nothing really, is it? But it's something we've had to keep on going on. But in the Bible, it says this quite clearly. It says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." We can't change Jesus' name. It's the best name in the world. And we're going to learn a bit more about Jesus in a few moments. But we're going to now turn to the band. And they're going to play some music. No, we're not going to turn to the band. See, Johns are brilliant. And they know exactly what's going on. Over there, John, isn't it? Oh, have you got music this time? Okay, thanks very much. So, after all that, we're going to sing again. And it's going to... Would you know why I love Jesus? I don't know why I love Jesus now, but The words will come up and they'll give you an opportunity to stand again, and we'll have an introduction on the piano. So please stand, and would you know I love Jesus? More. Please be seated. And now the band are going to play for us, and it's a piece of music entitled I Know Thou Art Mine, and the words will come up on the screen. lovely piece of music, that. Lovely to listen to, and it's lovely to play as well. In our reading, right at the beginning of the meeting, we read from Matthew 22. And one of the verses said, "And one of them, an expert in the law, asked the question to test Jesus. Teacher, which commandment is the law is the greatest? And he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment." And any time Jesus says something is important, we as Christians should listen very carefully. And here Jesus is referring to a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where there it says, "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." But how do we do this? How do we love the Lord with all our heart and soul and strength? How do we love God? We know God loves us. He loved us so much that he gave Jesus to die on the cross for us. The band have just played, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." That's a big statement for a Christian to make. Do you, or can you say that truthfully? "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." God speaks of affirmation. So many places in the Word of God, he affirms and tells us he loves us, that he'll never leave us. So how can we return that to him? How can we affirm God our support? Well, God loves to hear you praise him. God loves to hear you thank him. God loves to hear you speak words of his love to your children, to your wife, to your employees, and to your friends. How often do we speak to God and praise him and thank him? There's a verse in Psalm 119, verse 103, it says, "How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth." Put a star next to this. It says that's the way you experience God's love on a regular basis, that he speaks to you words that taste sweeter than honey. I'm going to quote the Reverend Steve Taylor. That's all I know about him, his name. But this is what he said. He said, "When I was growing up, I loved Superman. I wanted to be just like Superman." And he said, "I can remember running around my house with a homemade cape on." He said, "I even wore that cape outside. And whenever I saw a phone booth, I wanted to go in and change into Superman." Now, for those who are quite young, I'll explain. A phone booth is a tall glass box, big enough for one person, where you go in, put money in the slot next to the phone, and you're able to dial wherever you want to. They were everywhere because we didn't have phones attached to our ears in those days. But he goes on and says, "The idea of superheroes has not gone away. New movies come out all the time about superheroes. They are awesome, breathtaking, with big bangs, booms, grand effects. They come in HD, 3D, big screens, curved screens. And the graphics are so mind-blowing, you almost feel you're right there. But back in the day," he says, "I read comic books all the time. The action back then had to be visualized, not like the Xbox of today." I stop there again. Now, for those who are quite young, a comic book, it's a paperback book with all the great stories of superheroes of the time on it. So the comic books of yesterday are what the movies are based on today. So you've got that now, have you? Yeah, you've got that one. Well done. Then he said, "Just about everyone wanted to be a superhero in those days, with great strength, great sight, great knowledge, and the whole world call you super. That would be great." But he says, "It was a sad day for me when I realized I couldn't be one of those superheroes, because it's simply impossible to be like them." I thought about that and thought for a moment and said, you and I could be Christian superheroes. Now, how could we become a Christian superhero? Well, we'd have to keep very close company with God and learn a life of love. We'd have to observe how Christ loved us. I read his love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something back from us, but to give everything of himself to us. To be a super Christian hero, we have to love God like that. We're able to say that well-quoted verse, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. When you can say that truthfully, then you are a Christian superhero. But I want to test you this morning by asking you why you're here. Why are you here? Why did you bother to get up this morning, get dressed, and come here to church? What was it brought you here this morning? Was it the tea and the coffee? How wonderful it is. Was it the biscuit? Was it the band? Was it the songsters? I very much doubt it was me, because you didn't know I was doing the meeting. Or you might not have come. But in years past, it was just considered the thing to do. If you considered yourself a Christian, you felt an obligation to be in church on Sunday morning. And countless generations went to church simply because they felt obligated to be in church. But recent research tells us, however, there are many reasons now to go to church. And a few of them are to make new friends, to see existing friends, because it's a positive experience. You like the captains, you like the music, and so on. There are many reasons why people go to church. But why did you come to church this morning? What was the compelling reason to get out of bed early on Sunday morning, get dressed, and go to church? Well, whatever your reason for coming this morning, there's only one real reason for you to come to church. We go to church to worship the Lord. We go to church to praise the Lord. We go to church to honor the Lord. We go to church to thank the Lord. We go to church in obedience to the Lord. In short, we go to church because we love the Lord. Put simply, we go to church because the Lord. We go to church because of the Lord, and we go to church because of the Lord, who the Lord is and what he's done for us. Whatever the reason that brought you to church this morning, there really should have only been one reason that brings you here, and that's the Lord. So I wonder if you got up this morning and said, whoa, I've got to go and worship the Lord. I've got to say thank the Lord in your church. Or did you say, well, it's Sunday, and I always do this on a Sunday? You should come to church really for one reason only, and that is simply because you love the Lord. I wonder how many people go to church simply because they love the Lord. You know, the church used to love the Lord. Now I think the church just loves the church. We love our programs. We love our buildings. We love all our activities. But do we still come to church because we love him? The most important place in Scripture, or anywhere, where we see love demonstrated through faith-empowered obedience is Jesus. In John 1:3-16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. In Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now if I were to say, and I'm not going to say it, raise your right hand if you love the Lord, I wouldn't be surprised that you would all raise your hand and say yes. But for the final few moments, I want to go a little bit farther and really examine this subject. God loves us, but do we really love him? Four little points say, does your life show that you love the Lord? Does your life show that you love the Lord? Do your actions prove your love for the Lord? The way you treat people, the way you ignore people. Does your actions prove you love the Lord? Are the choices that you make in life based on your love for the Lord? Or is it you choose what you want to do, then you ask God to help you and bless you afterwards? And perhaps most important, if I were to ask people in your neighborhood, or if I were to ask people where you work, would others testify of your love for the Lord? Would they know in your life that you belong to the Lord? All we need is a simple faith rooted in the gospel. Spending time in prayer and scripture is profitable. That's where Jesus is. That's where we reconnect with our Savior and King. That's where we get the fuel necessary to go and do good deeds in service to others. There's a paraphrase of John 21, verse 15 and 17, where Peter is asked three times by Jesus, "Do you love me?" And this paraphrase says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me unconditionally more than you love these men?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you like a friend and a brother." Jesus asked him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me with my kind of unconditional love?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you like a friend and a brother." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me like a friend and a brother?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you like a friend and a brother." Those questions were quite hard for Peter to hear. And sometimes the Lord might ask us hard questions, give us hard things to do. But the closer we live to him and the more we love him, the easier it is to do what he wants us to do in our lives. I wonder why Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. Because as far as I know, Jesus knows everything. Why did he have to ask him three times? Well, I think the reason is because Jesus wanted to hear it and Peter needed to say, "I love you." Peter told the Lord that he loved him, and so should we. But you have to get close enough to God to do that. And I ask you this morning, are you close enough to God? Do you really love him? Or is it just lip service when you say, "I love you, Lord"? The Lord certainly wants you to tell him that you love him, but that's not enough. God has a job for each one of us to do. And this is what the Lord told Peter three times. He said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Then feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And the Lord asks us that question. He says, "Do you love me? Do you really love me? If you do, then feed my sheep. Tell people about my love." Talk is cheap, so they say, and the cheapest talk of all talk is religious talk. I read a story of a young lady who was traveling home very late at night in her car, and the car had trouble and it was breaking down. And she thought that's not a safe area to stop, so she tried to find somewhere that she thought was safe. And she saw a post office lit up, and she went into the car park there and thought, "Well, I'll be safe here." A middle-aged man came out of the door of the post office and she told him her problem and asked for help. And he said he was sorry, but he was in a hurry. And he got in his car and drove off. And as he pulled away, she noticed the bumper sticker on his car. It said, "Jesus loves you and so do I." Well, he didn't show much of Jesus' love to that young lady. And that's the extent of some people's love. It never gets beyond words. They have a bumper sticker religion. It may be that the greatest curse of the modern church is when all has been said and done, a whole lot has more been said than done. I had to read that twice to see what it meant. When all has been said and done in the church, a whole lot more has been said than has been done. We talk a better game than we play. But the Lord isn't interested in mere words. He wants love demonstrated. He wants love in action. And John expressed that kind of love Christ wants when he wrote, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We know God loves us, but do we really, really love him? Well, you may fool your friends about that. You may fool your family. You may fool your spouse. You may even fool yourself, but you can't fool the Lord. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows if we really love him. And you do too. But I'm not going to ask you to say whether you do or not. We're going to sing a little song. And as we sing this song, if the words of the song don't mean that you love the Lord truly, then just where you are, you can ask forgiveness and ask Him to give that love in your heart, the love that He gave to you. The song will appear on the screen, and it says, Jesus, tender lover of my soul, pardoner of my sins and friend indeed, keeper of the garden of my heart, Jesus, Thou art everything to me. Is your life, tell others that? Do they see in you that Jesus means everything? If not, then there's an opportunity as we sing this song to put it right just where you are. And remain seated, of course, as we sing. Thank you, John. Lord, we have sung that little chorus over and over again, making the prayer that you are everything to us. You know if that's true. You know if you live in our hearts. You know if we are first and foremost. You know if people know we love you because of the way we live. Just ask me this morning that if we find that we're not loving you as much as we should, that you'll speak to us and you'll show us the way. Thank you for your worship this morning. Thank you for these wonderful people who have come along. And just pray that in our songs, in our Bible reading, our word, that there's just been something that has helped us and we can carry through with us in this coming week. So now, Lord, I thank you for your presence and your fellowship with us. Amen. Amen. We're going to repeat the words that the band played to us, but using a little more jollier tune.
I think there's about three verses, so if you don't know the tune by the last time, you should. Four verses? Oh, well, then you will learn it by the fourth verse, won't you? And it's, if you want to know it in the song book, it's 878. And there's a little introduction with the band. You can stand, and if you want to clap, one or two people were wondering whether, I saw you there, yeah, you're wondering whether you were. And if you want to clap, you want to, I was going to say dance, but perhaps not. But it's a really good tune, and it swings along. So, would you rise, please, as we sing My Jesus, I Love You. Perhaps you didn't know it was going to happen, but at the end there's a little ending that goes la la la, and all you budding sopranos, I never heard it. So can we just have that last little bit? As long as you get that la 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 bit in, I don't mind really. Quaver before the bracket. Okay, you all got that? Okay. Brilliant. I don't know whether you sung the note, there's a lot of mouth open anyway. Oh, well, let's just have benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our worship, and I pray now that as we leave this place, or as we go into the community hall to share fellowship with you, that you will be with us there, and I pray that your grace and your peace and your love will go with us this morning and remain with us forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.